Today is the 3rd of August 2025, and you are tuned to amateur radio station ZSX-SRL. Coming up shortly, Amateur Radio Today. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be listening to us. You are listening to Amateur Radio Today on station ZSX-SRL. I'm your host, Hans van der Groenendaal, ZSX Alpha Kilo Vector, and the program comes to you from the capital city of South Africa, Pretoria. Amateur Radio Today is presented and produced by the South African Radio League, the national body for amateur radio in South Africa. We start our program today with the SRL news, and for that we cross to Bloemfontein. On the microphone, Dennis Green. But first, the news headlines.
In the news today, the 28th International Lighthouse Lightship Weekend, Radar Hill Repeater in Polokwane, and club news. Stay tuned for more information on these and other interesting news items. We begin this bulletin with the news of a silent key. It is with deep regret that we announce that the key of PC Snyman, a 06 Kilo Victor Foxtrot, went silent on Wednesday, 23 July 2025. We extend our sincere condolences to his son Christo, family, and friends. You are listening to a news bulletin of the South African Radio League. The 28th International Lighthouse Lightship Weekend. The International Lighthouse Lightship Weekend will take place from 0001 UTC on Saturday 16 August to 2359 UTC on Sunday 17 August. Started in 1993 by the AIR Amateur Radio Group in Scotland as the Northern Lighthouse Activity Weekend, ILLW now coincides with many countries honouring of lighthouses each August. The event is not a contest and participation is free. Each lighthouse operators decide on which bands and modes they will operate. There are no restrictions on antennas or power, and each station must be operated in compliance with the operator's license. Amateur radio operators are encouraged to enjoy the weekend and make as many contacts as possible. Listen out for ZR 3 Victor Delta Kilo Stroke 1 from Doringbaai, ZS 1 Bravo Kilo from Cape Columbine, ZS 1 Charlie Tango from Greenpoint, ZS 1 Papa Zulu from Slangkop Point, ZS 1 Charlie Romeo Golf from Cape Point, ZS 1 Whiskey Romeo Charlie from Cape Hongklip, ZS 1 Oscar Alpha Romeo from Danger Point, ZS 100 SARL from Cape Agulhas, ZS 1 Echo Romeo Zulu from Eystervarkpunt, ZS 1 Sierra Kilo Romeo from Cape St. Blaise, ZS 1 Sierra Mike Papa from Cape Seal in Plettenberg Bay, ZS 0 Sierra Papa Lima from Cape St. Francis, and ZS 6 Papa Sierra Stroke 5 from Tugela Bluff. Complete information, including registration guidelines and the current list of participants, can be found at https://illw.net/index.php. As an extension of the above item, take note of an award available around the time of ILLW. The anniversary of three Polish lighthouses in 2025. Kozolpina, Rozwi 2, and Krajnica Morska. The award aims to celebrate the anniversaries of the three lighthouses and is organized by the Pomeranian branch of the Polish Amateur Radio Union. The call signs to look out for are Sierra November 150 Lima Hotel Charlie, Sierra November 150 Lima Romeo November, and Sierra November 130 Lima Hotel Kilo. The time frame is 9 to 17 August, and operation will be with the three special event call signs on 160 to 6 meters, including the WARC bands, 2 meters, 70 centimeters, as well as satellites and repeaters. Information and application for the award is online at https://oscartango09.papazulukilo.org.papa-lima/alpha-kilo-charlie-juliet-echo/2025-lima-hotel/3-lima-hotel.php, and this will be available until 31 December 2025. Radar Hill Repeater in Polokwane. It is with great excitement that we announce another new repeater on air this week. The South Pondsberg Amateur Radio Club is being revived, and this initiative is being driven by Tinus, ZS6 Tango Delta Sierra, Henry, ZS6 Hotel Charlie Oscar, Willem, ZS6 Whiskey Alpha Bravo, and Carl, ZS6 Whiskey November. It all started by applying for a repeater license, which the West Rand Club sponsored, also donating a duplexer towards the Radar Hill repeater. This new repeater can be heard on 439.100 MHz with an input 7.6 MHz lower on 431.500 MHz and 88.5 Hz CTCSS tone is required, and coverage reports are welcome. The next step will be a possible link to the well-established Santon ZA All-Star Network. Well done, Henry, Tinus, and the team. We wish you great things ahead for Amateur Radio and the South Pondsberg Club in Polokwane. Contest news. The aim of the three SARL HF contests in August is for participants to contact as many amateurs in Southern Africa as possible on 20, 40 and 80 meter amateur bands. The SARL HF phone contest is on the air this afternoon, Sunday 3 August, from 14 to 17 hours UTC. You can participate as a single operator, single radio, single band station, a single operator, single radio, all band station, a multi-operator single band station, or a multi-operator all band station, in each case with a YL or youth overlay, as there are separate trophies for YLs and youth. The exchange is a realistic RS report and a consecutive serial number starting at 001. You score 1 point for each QSO. For each call area worked on each band, you can claim 2 points. There are 9 call areas. Then for each station you contact on all 3 bands, you can claim 2 points. Submit your log in MS Excel, ADIF or Cabrillo by 21:59 UTC on Friday 8 August by email to contest@sarl.org.za. Find the rules in HF Happenings 1158. On page 16 and 17 of the August 2025 Radio ZS, or in the 2025 SARL Contest Manual. You are listening to a news bulletin of the South African Radio League. 28 logs were received for the ZS2 QSO party held on Sunday 20 July 2025. First, Paul Skuman, ZS2 Papa Sierra, 97 points. Second, Andre Visser, ZS4 Alpha Whiskey, 70 points. Third, Dion Fraser, ZS5 Delta Charlie Foxtrot, 68 points. The full set of results was published in HF Happenings 1158. 23 logs were received for the SARL Winter QRP competition. The full results will be published in HF Happenings 1159. QRP Championships. First, Philip Fisher, ZS6 Foxtrot Yankee, 238.15 points. Philip also took first place in the QRP 1 Watt, QRP Speech and QRP FT8 categories. Second, Kobus Boshoff, ZSX Bravo Oscar Sierra 152.52 points, taking second place in the QRP 1 watt, third place in the QRP speech, and second place in the QRP FT8 categories. Third, Brandon Zietzman ZSX Lima Zulu 135.77 points, also taking third place in the QRP 1 watt and second place in the QRP speech categories. QRP CW mode. First, Michael Spencer Wilson ZSX Mike Sierra Whiskey 9.52 points. Second, Anthony Wally ZSX Alfa Romeo Whiskey 9.22 points. And third, Eddie Layton ZSX Bravo November Echo 3.6 points. Club news. The West Rand Amateur Radio Club is proud to announce the following committee elected from its members at the club AGM held on Saturday, 19 July. The executive committee is Chairman Philip Zedis, 6 Papa Victor Tango, Vice Chairman Gert Zedar, 6 Golf Romeo Tango, Treasurer Dani ZSX Delta Papa Sierra, Secretary Beverly ZR 6 Bravo Victor Tango. The co-opted committee is Technical Hendrik ZSX Hotel Juliet Hotel, Contesting Nico ZSX Lima Oscar Lima, Public Relations Alistair ZSX Alpha Lima India, Soto and Outdoor Yuan ZSX Juliet Victor Delta, as well as Samantha ZSX Sierra Whiskey Romeo, Rowan ZSX Tango November Mike, Stephen ZR6 Sierra Whiskey, and Brendan ZSX Foxtrot Alpha. We look forward to great things ahead in the next 12 months. Did you attend the Power Hour Tech Talk on Varak on Wednesday evening? There was a record turnout listening into Alistair ZS2 Oscar Kilo, and what a comprehensive presentation. Alistair educated us on the digital mode of Varak and its amazing functionality, supported by Dani ZS1 Oscar Sierra Sierra, who was answering questions in the chat. If you missed out, you did miss out. But do not despair, you can still listen to the recording, where you will not only find out what Varak is capable of and how to set it up and use it, but also all the details on how to join the Varak SA WhatsApp group and the information and video links provided by Alistair ZS2OK during his presentation. Thank you, Alistair, for sharing your knowledge with the South African amateur radio community. Now to the propagation report. Hannes Kutsier ZSX Bravo Zulu Papa reports that the low solar activity levels are going to continue during the week. There are currently 8 sunspot regions with simple to slightly complex magnetic configurations visible. There is a high probability of C-class but a low probability of M-class solar flares. If you want to do your own frequency predictions, the expected effective sunspot number for the week will be around 82. The 30 to 15 meter bands may provide some good DX fun. Please visit the website spaceweather.sansa.org.za for further information. And now the diary of upcoming events. Today, the SARL HF phone contest. 7 and 8 August is International Cat Day. 9 August, Women's Day and the SARL Wild QSO Party. 10 August, the SRL HF Digital Contest. 12 August, International Youth Day. 12 and 13 August, the Parasites Meteor Shower. 16 August, the SARL Youth QSO Party. 16 and 17 August, the International Lighthouse Lightship Weekend. To conclude our bulletin, a recap of the main news item. The International Lighthouse Lightship Weekend will take place from 0001 UTC on Saturday 16 August to 2359 UTC on Sunday 17 August. The event is not a contest and participation is free. Amateur radio operators are encouraged to enjoy the weekend and make as many contacts as possible. Full information, including registration guidelines and the current list of participants, can be found at https://IndiaLimaLimaWhiskey.net/index.php. This concludes our bulletin for this morning. We invite clubs and individuals to submit news items of interest to Radio Mits and Shortwave listeners in both English and Afrikaans if possible, by uploading the news item at https://mysarl.org.za/news-inbox, or by sending the items to news@sarl.org.za no later than the Friday morning preceding the bulletin date. You are welcome to join us every Sunday morning for the weekly radio program Amateur Radio Today at 10 hours Central African Time. The program can be heard on VHF and UHF repeaters countrywide and is relayed on 7115 kHz lower sideband by Louis ZR4 Delta Juliet Lima. In Cape Town, you can listen at 10:30 Central African Time on 145.700 MHz repeater with echo link to ZS1 Delta Charlie Charlie Dash R. And this is done by Dave ZS1 DFR. A rebroadcast by Andy ZS6 Alpha Delta Yankee can be heard Monday evenings at 19:30 Central African Time on 3620 kHz. We welcome your signal reports, comments, and suggestions. Please send these by email to ar.today@sarl.org.za. You have listened to a news bulletin written by Hannes Enslin, ZS6 Juliet Delta Echo, proofread by Dave Rees, ZS1 Delta Foxtrot Romeo, and read by the most handsome radio amateur in South Africa, Dennis, ZS4 Bravo Sierra. From the news team, best wishes for the week ahead.
Thanks there to Dennis Green. You're listening to Amateur Radio Today on ZSX SRL. We now cross to the United States for international news. Here is Newsline.
Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
Our top story takes us to Washington, D.C., where the FCC has been receiving filings from individuals and groups speaking out in response to the proposed use of amateur frequencies by a broadband communications business. The response has gathered international momentum, as we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Several international amateur radio union societies and more than 2,000 individuals have filed their concerns with the U.S. Federal Communications Commission over a request by a U.S. broadband communications company to use frequencies between 430 and 440 megahertz for a planned constellation of 240 commercial satellites. AST Spacemobile was recently approved for the use of the amateur radio band on an experimental basis for a low Earth orbit satellite known as FM1, which is the prototype for the company's planned mobile phone connectivity from space. The FCC has assigned the call sign WP2XRX, expiring on the 1st of July 2027. The Texas-based company Arrival of SpaceX is developing its network in associating with AT&T and Verizon. SpaceX is partnering with T-Mobile. The Radio Society of Great Britain, referring on its website to its own filing to the FCC, said that the company's proposal for its constellation has stirred, quote, an unprecedented response from the amateur radio community, unquote. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
If you've been listening around on the bands during the past few months, you may have heard some new personal call signs on the air that have very different prefixes or suffixes, with good reason. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, explains what's going on.
Hams who've made contact with radio operators in India or Sweden, or who have perhaps just heard them on the air, have been hearing these operators identifying themselves with call signs that, until this year, did not exist. In India, newly licensed amateur stations have been assigned new suffixes since the 25th of June. Although the existing older call sign forms have not changed, new general grade licenses, which are assigned a VU2 prefix, now get a combination of numbers and letters, creating call signs such as VU2DX or VU29AR. Likewise, restricted grade licenses, who are assigned a VU3 prefix, are receiving suffixes of two numbers and three letters, creating call signs such as VU33ABS. Jose Jacob, VU2JOS, the Assistant Director of the National Institute of Amateur Radio, told Newsline that the changes are a direct result of ham radio's growth in India. He wrote in an email, quote, "These new prefixes are a practical measure to accommodate the increasing number of amateur radio enthusiasts in India by expanding the available call sign combinations, while still adhering to the country's internationally allocated prefix block," end quote. Meanwhile, in Sweden, amateurs who've received the new entry-level class certificate are identifying themselves with the country's new callsign prefix, Sierra Hotel. These amateurs can be heard on 40, 20, 15, 10, 6 and 2 metres, where they're permitted a maximum of 25 watts of power. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
The Bouvet Island 3Y0K team begins packing for the long trip starting in August, hoping to complete this part of the preparation by the end of September. According to their July 27th press release, equipment is being shipped from Italy, Bulgaria, and the U.S. to Norway, where the team plans to meet later in Oslo for two workshops. Activators expect to be on the island for at least 21 days. Their scheduled departure date from Cape Town, South Africa, is the 1st of February 2026. The team is still looking for additional operators. For details, send an email to admin@3y0.no. Hams embrace the story of one Catholic friar's ultimate sacrifice in a World War II concentration camp. This martyr, who became the patron saint of amateur radio, is being honored throughout August, as we hear from Jim Davis, W2JKD.
In 1938, a Franciscan friar named Maximilian Kolbe began shortwave radio broadcasts from his home-built station in a monastery to share his words of faith during a troubled time in the world. 3 years later, he was a prisoner of the Nazis in Auschwitz. On the 14th of August, 1941, he traded his own life to save that of a doomed Polish army sergeant. Maximilian Kolbe, SP3RN, was declared a saint by the Roman Catholic Church in 1982 and is considered the patron saint of amateur radio. The days surrounding August 14th have grown to be important ones for more than a decade at the San Max Church in Mexico, where with the help of a homebrew rotating dipole installed at the church, hams from around the country teamed up to call CQ using the special call sign 4A2MAX. The presence of the saint is prominent at the church in more than just its given name and call sign. Some relics that once belonged to him are housed in a small museum inside the church building. The museum also displays some of the awards the amateurs have won while operating in contests with this call sign as a way to pay tribute to St. Maximilian. The operators are on the air this month from the 1st to the 31st using all modes on all HF bands through the end of the month. The station's operations manager, Chui XE2N/N5MEX, told Newsline, and I quote, "We want to celebrate what we love on the radio," end quote. I'm Jim Davis, W2JKD.
The most popular digital amateur TV show in space is back, and better than ever. With its installation completed recently by ISS astronauts, Ham TV resumed its transmissions on Tuesday, the 29th of July. In Salisbury, southern England, Dave, G8GKQ, was among the happy radio operators to report to the British Amateur TV Club that he had good copy during the first pass of the ISS with Ham TV turned on again. Ham TV had been out of service since 2019, so its welcome back from Dave and other fans was clearly a warm one. To see a live stream of Ham TV when it is near the receiver stations, follow the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. Most of us remember the big weekend in June known as Field Day. For 14 scouts who attended the activation with one ham club in Southern California, it will always be remembered as Merit Badge Day. Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB, explains.
Operators with the San Fernando Valley Amateur Radio Club, W6SD, do a lot of planning each year for Field Day, but this year their plans included something else for the first time, the inclusion of scouts from Troop 415, who were there to observe, learn about amateur radio, and perhaps qualify for scouting's Radio Merit Badge. 14 of them did just that. In a single day, as they learned about radio communication and watched the hams make CUSOs at the activation site at the First Presbyterian Church of Granada Hills. Some of the scouts even experienced the thrill of HF by getting on the GOTA station, the so-called get-on-the-air station, provided at many field day sites to allow them to have a CUSO or two under supervision of a licensed ham. The scouts had other inspiration to draw on, too. Club Secretary Bernard, KG6 FBM, told Newsline that one of the scouts' fathers, Eric Arevalo, KO6 KFL, had just received his tech license after taking a class with Ruzi, W1EH. Bernard said the club is very proud of the scouts, whose ages range from 11 to 17. As to whether a merit badge eventually leads to a license, Bernard said, "Some scouts did show interest. Maybe someday they'll follow up." This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6 ITB.
Light waves and radio waves have much in common. Perhaps most notably, the fact that they share a home on different parts of the same spectrum. In South Africa, however, a popular operating award scheme unites light and amateur radio in a very different way. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, explains how.
An awards program that originated with the Bokaroo Amateur Radio Club in South Africa has its origins as Heliographs on the Air. The original concept, credited to Janie Smith ZS3CM, was to encourage amateur radio operators to activate sites where members of the military once sent coded messages to the troops by reflecting sunlight off mirrors. Other club members soon expanded the program's scope to focus on a broader array of historical sites. What was renamed History on the Air soon morphed into Heritage on the Air, the program as it's known today. Using a spreadsheet developed by Steve Brooks, ZS3SB, activators and chasers alike keep track of their contacts and, ultimately, their cumulative score which they submit at the end of each year. Organisers believe that the exercise offers a greater opportunity to learn about history, either by chasing, activating or proposing new sites for inclusion. Proposals are required to be well-researched applications that explain the historical significance of the location, which must be connected to war, telecommunications or general history, and the sites must have a significance dating back at least 75 years. As for the modes, well, that's a nod to history too. Operators can use SSB, AM, FM, CW and, yes, even heliographs, of course. Reflecting on that story, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Tune to amateur radio station ZSX SRL, the program Amateur Radio Today. Well, back here in South Africa, we now go to Cape Town for the weekly Hamnet report. Here is Dave Rees, ZS1 DFR.
The earthquake which struck the Kamchatka Peninsula of eastern Russia on the 29th of July at 23 hours 24 UTC was amongst the 10 strongest quakes ever recorded. At a depth of 20 kilometres below the sea and 119 kilometres from the nearest city of Petropavlovsk-Kamchatsky, it created a tsunami which spread out to threaten the Russian coastline, Japan, Hawaii and the western coast of the US. Fortunately, the tsunami was predicted not to reach a height greater than 6 meters and was significantly less by the time it did reach the other countries. However, millions of coastal dwellers were forced to evacuate to high ground until the danger was over. Amongst those evacuated from the coast of Japan were 4,000 workers at the Fukushima nuclear plant, who must have suffered extreme déjà vu as the horror of the 2011 magnitude 9 quake that killed 18,000 people there came back to haunt them. Although 270,000 persons were threatened on Russian soil, Russia doesn't usually comment on casualties or damage, and Japan, Hawaii and the US suffered none. Within 6 hours of the severe earthquake, there had been 35 aftershocks of greater than magnitude 5.0. The area in question, part of the Pacific Rim of Fire, forms part of a subduction zone called the Kuril-Kamchatka Trench, which is a tectonic plate boundary where the Pacific Plate is being thrust beneath the Okhotsk Plate. These plates are constantly moving relative to each other at a rate of 75 millimeters per year, which is a relatively high speed. So the question is not, will another severe earthquake strike the region, but rather, when? The ARRL says that various RE sections in the Americas activated in case their territories were threatened by tsunami waves. Alan Meinchen, Alpha Delta 6 Echo in Hawaii, said that Rick Ward, Whiskey Hotel 6 Fox Charlie, held an informal statewide HF net on 7090 kHz lower sideband for Hawaiians for many hours, and there were about 60 check-ins. The Oregon coastal teams were in informal monitoring mode, so were readily available for activation on the western coast of the US, and the California rescue net on 40 meters was activated. Bob Turner, Whiskey 6 Romeo Hotel Kilo of the Orange County section, said that the net received some preparation reports for the San Francisco Bay Area and Santa Cruz, and some maritime mobile stations with routine traffic. Fortunately, waves along the west coast were hardly noticeable. Ian Bradley, ZS1 Bravo Romeo, sent me a report last week of the All Tar Rally held at Killarney Racetrack in Cape Town on the 12th of July. He writes, "This year's All Tar Rally saw a crisp but clear winter morning at Killarney, with radio operators arriving early to prepare for a full day of motorsport action. Control was again established at the new pits by 8 hours, using a dual-band mag-mount antenna on the roof of the building. VHF simplex comms on 145.525 MHz proved reliable throughout the day with no need to switch frequencies. As with previous years, operators were stationed at both the start and end of each stage, with coverage ensuring reliable and timely communication between control and radio marshals. Johann ZS1 Juliet Mike acted as chief radio, overseeing the team's coordination and deployment. Andre, ZS1 Alpha Tango X-ray, was once again posted in the tower, relaying information to the commentator. Stage radios were handled by Johann, ZR1 Juliet Lima, Peter, ZS1 Papa Juliet Golf, and Yanni, ZS1 Juliet Fox Kilo. The first stage kicked off at 9 hours 14 with a field of 33 entrants, 19 rally cars and 14 track cars. To help ease the burden of collecting, recording and relaying times, two radio operators were stationed at the stop control. This was primarily because cars were sent in at 1 minute intervals and, in the case of the first stages, two at a time. The day progressed relatively smoothly with no major incidents reported despite having upwards of 10 cars on the track at any one time during the later stages. However, several mechanical failures and vehicle retirements throughout the day reduced the field, with only 23 cars making it to the end of the final stage. Thanks to excellent teamwork and clear communication, the event wrapped up by 16 hours without any safety concerns. Special thanks to the dedicated operas, Johann ZS1 Juliet Mike, Andre ZS1 Alpha Tango X-ray, Johann ZR1 Juliet Lima, Peter ZS1 Papa Juliet Golf, and Yanni ZS1 Juliet Fox Kilo. As always, we encourage amateur radio operators of all experience levels to get involved in these events. Not only do they improve safety and coordination on the ground, but they are also a great way to develop operating skills and enjoy some real-time radio action. And thank you to you, Ian, for your involvement and for the report. The Motor Rally Ham team is very enthusiastic down here and seldom struggles to find enough operators for an event. MedicalExpress.com says that tiny shards of plastic called microplastics have been detected accumulating in human brains, but there's not yet enough evidence to say whether it's doing us harm, experts have said. These mostly invisible pieces of plastic have been found everywhere from the top of mountains to the bottom of oceans, in the air we breathe and the food we eat. They have also been discovered riddled through human bodies, inside lungs, hearts, placentas, and even crossing the blood-brain barrier. The increasing ubiquity of microplastics has become a key issue in efforts to hammer out the world's first plastic pollution treaty, with the latest round of UN talks being held in Geneva next week. The effects that microplastics and even smaller nanoplastics have on human health are not yet fully understood, but researchers have been working to find out more on this relatively new field. The most prominent study looking at microplastics in brains was published in the journal Nature Medicine in February. The scientists tested brain tissue from 28 people who died in 2016 and 24 who died last year in the US state of New Mexico, finding that the amount of microplastics in the samples increased over time. The study made headlines around the world when the lead researcher, US toxicologist Matthew Campen, told the media that they detected the equivalent of a plastic spoon's worth of microplastics in the brains. Makes one think, doesn't it? That is, if you're capable of thinking coherently, loaded up with all that plastic. It seems now that you can be born with a silver spoon in your mouth, but you've got a good chance of dying with a plastic spoon in your brain. This is Dave Rees, Series 1 Delta Fox Romeo, hurriedly counting the plastic spoons in the kitchen drawer to make sure one is not missing, and reporting for Hamnet in South Africa.
Thanks, Dave, for an interesting contribution in today's program, particularly about the plastic. I guess that's why, you've got a plastic brain. You're listening to Amateur Radio today on ZS6SRL. We now cross to Durban for the weekly satellite report. Here is Dave Long, ZS1 DFR.
AMSAT submits formal objection to AST Space Mobile Plan. FCC records 2,220 comments. The public comment period has officially closed for FCC Space Bureau Docket 25201, which reviewed the request by AST and Science LLC, AST Space Mobile, to use the 430 to 440 MHz band for telemetry, tracking and command, TT&C, operations. This spectrum includes 435 to 438 MHz, a critical allocation for amateur satellite service. The filing window ended at midnight Eastern Time on July the 21st. AMSAT submitted formal comments opposing the proposal, citing the extensive non-commercial use of the 435 to 438 MHz by amateur satellites, including Oscar-class spacecraft, educational CubeSats, and the Aero Station aboard the International Space Station. AMSAT also highlighted ongoing interference caused by AST's Blue Walker 3 satellite on 437.500 MHz, which has disrupted InspireSat 1. The filing urges the Commission to deny AST's request and preserve the integrity of the amateur satellite service. The international amateur satellite community also responded forcefully. AMSAT DL, that is Germany, provided direct evidence of Blue Walker 3 interference received at the Bockholm Observatory. AMSAT SM, which is Sweden, filed in opposition as well, and the International Amateur Radio Union, the IARU, pointed out that AST's use of 430 to 440 MHz under ITU Radio Regulation Article 4.4 lacks required shared studies and would pose significant interference risks to amateur operations worldwide. As of the close of the comment period, the FCC docket recorded 2,283 total filings, a remarkable outpouring of concern from the amateur community. While not all filings were express comments in opposition, the overwhelming majority appeared to be from individual amateur radio operators urging the FCC to reject AST's request. The ARRL encouraged its members to participate. The result is one of the most heavily commented amateur spectrum proceedings in recent FCC history. Amateur radio enthusiasts decode SSMIS after DoD ends public hurricane data stream. Amateur radio enthusiasts have developed a method to access critical hurricane monitoring data following a decision by the US government to end online distribution. The data originates from the Special Sensor Microwave Imager Sounder, that's the SSMIS, aboard the Defense Meteorological Satellite Program, DMSP, long used by meteorologists to monitor storm development. In June, the Department of Defense announced it would discontinue public access to the real-time SSMIS data, citing cybersecurity concerns. Although the cutoff was postponed until August, forecasters warned that losing this source of microwave imagery would hinder their ability to analyze tropical cyclone structure, particularly under cloud cover or at night. In response, amateur radio enthusiasts developed a workaround led by the SatDump project's creator. The SatDump software project has released a new decoder that allows users to receive SSMIS transmissions directly from the satellite. Although official distribution is scheduled to stop soon, the satellite continues to broadcast unencrypted signals over the United States and polar regions. SSMIS microwave data from the DMSP satellite is now accessible via SatDump ahead of cutoff plans. With the right radio hardware, details of which are available online, users can intercept the satellite signal independently. The decoder software was built using a combination of reverse engineering and publicly available documentation to replicate some of the functionality of NOAA had previously provided. Not all data channels are accessible using this method. Thermal data in particular remains unavailable due to the absence of reference materials needed for decoding. Still, the tool provides valuable insight for those monitoring storms during hurricane season. The decoder is still under active development and is available in the VeriWIP branch of the SatDump GitHub repository. And you can go to github.com/satdump Interested users can download the tool and find setup instructions and ongoing updates through the project page. Now onto some passes for today, Sunday the 3rd of August, in all times in Central African time. The International Space Station, 2123 to 2134, ESO 50 or Saudi Sat 1C, 1754 to 1808, and finally Chapisa Sat 1435 to 1448. This is ZS5FR for AMSAT SA.
The AMSAT SA satellite report is available, will be later on today at www.amsatsa.org.za. Thanks there to Dave for the interesting report. You're listening to Amateur Radio today on ZS6 SRL. We're now back here in Pretoria. And on the microphone will now be Brian Jacobs, ZS6 Yankee Zulu, with his weekly focus on VHF and above.
The AMSAT SA Symposium was held yesterday and included a whole host of interesting topics that were not only satellite related. The first presentation by John Francis, Victor Uniform 2 Juliet Oscar, who participated remotely from India, was especially interesting and inspirational. John's presentation, titled LEO Satellite Operations with Limited Setup, was very interesting, and he demonstrated how he has made many contacts via LEO satellites using only a modest radio and a vertical omnidirectional CP22E antenna. He also spoke about homebrewing a dual-band Yagi antenna and how he mounted it at a 20-degree elevation on a mast and turned it by hand to track the LEO satellites. This is truly an inspiration and shows what can be done when an amateur experiments with what he has and thinks about how he can overcome challenges to achieve many great contacts within the footprints of the satellites that are orbiting. Tom ZR6 Tango Golf followed with a presentation on an automated satellite ground station. Tom discussed how one can set up a SatNOG ground station also with reasonably low-cost equipment that you can put together and program yourself. There are many ways to get yourself on the air if you really want to. Tom also discussed another ground station that is also very easy to assemble that is primarily for use with the LoRa-based satellites that are making their appearances. You will have heard about the Future Geo project that is in the planning stages and a collaboration between AMSAT-DL and the European Space Agency. AMSAT-SA and the SARL also made some proposals towards the project, and Anton, ZR6 Alpha India Charlie, expanded on the proposal for an Echolink-type operation to be added to the proposed geostationary satellite. Anton has already put a lot of thought into expanding the proposal from a high-level concept to a model of how it can work. He has already started testing some of his ideas and hopes to in the near future to start some on-air testing of parts of the system that he envisages. Piet van Zyl from SANSA Space Science and one of the developers of the SANSA HF Frequency Prediction Software IOCAP gave an interesting presentation on how the prediction software can be used to be able to make reasonably accurate frequency predictions that can be used to determine the best frequencies to use to provide the optimal reliability and availability for HF paths. That takes in all the considerations that affect the radio systems at both ends of the path. Quite a complex piece of software, and it seems to be very capable, but unfortunately, it is licensed by Sansa and not freely available for amateur use. Eugene Avenant, the chief engineer at Sansa Space Operations at Hartebeest Hook, gave an interesting overview of their involvement over the last 65 years. He spoke about the importance of Sansa Space Operations in providing support for a number of clients involved in space exploration as well as satellite communications companies. Eugene also provided an update of the new facility that is being developed outside Malkiesfontein in the Western Cape. We hope to be able to arrange a tour to the Hartebeest Hook facility sometime in the near future. This would be an exciting outing for any amateur radio enthusiast. I have previously attended a tour of the facility, not too long ago, and in the 90s and early 2000s, I was responsible for supporting the test and measurement equipment that was in use at the facility, and often visited it. On ZX6 Alpha Kilo Victor gave a very interesting presentation on the last 68 years of amateur radio in space. A very condensed history, yet interesting presentation. To think about it, our generation of amateurs in our 60s and beyond have lived through some exciting times in the space age. I recall watching films of the first lunar landing in 1969 in our city hall, and I know a local amateur who was employed by NASA in the early years before the Hartebeest Hook facility was built, and one of my colleagues in the 90s had also worked at Hartebeest Hook, and we spent many hours talking about the work that they had done in those early days supporting the Apollo missions. Christo, ZR6 Lima Juliet Kilo, spoke to us about the Pico balloons that have been launched over the last couple of months. Pico balloon ZS6 SRC-25 was also launched yesterday, and we will provide feedback on the status of the balloons again in next week's program. Burns Fisher, Whiskey Bravo 1 Foxtrot Juliet, from AMSAT North America, also gave an interesting presentation on the evolution of AMSAT North America flight software from Foxtrot to Golf. And Anton, ZR6 Alpha India Charlie, closed the afternoon with an update on the progress with AfriCube. That is all for today. There are some very interesting VHS stuff that I have found that I still want to research more and try and play with before telling you more about it. We will see how much time I can spend on it in the next week or two. How about telling us about that exciting long-distance contact that you have made on the VHF and above bands, or about that project that you are working on in the VHF and above bands? Send me a consolidated report of your activity or project with any additional photos, audio, or video clips to bjacobsza@gmail.com. Remember, by sharing your activities with us at VHF News allows us to tell the rest of the amateur community about your achievements. And the more we promote the activity on the VHF and above bands, the better chance we have of encouraging more amateurs to explore the world above 30 megahertz.
Thanks, Brian, for that report. I have certainly been part of the arrangements, enjoyed the AMSAT Space Symposium, and currently there's a process on the go to download all the various videos and edit them, and they will become available on YouTube. Full details will be on mzsa.org.za as the days or the week progresses. And also thanks to Brian to be my wingman. It's nice to have somebody to support the arrangements of a space communication or a space symposium. Thanks, Brian, for that report. You're listening to Amateur Radio today on ZSX SRL. To end our program today, here is Dennis Green with the HF report.
Good morning, Yathrom. My coolish Bloemfontein with this week's edition of HF News. And our first stop is Morocco. Taking part in the annual Throne Day celebrations, members of the association, or rather the Royal Association of Radio Amateurs of Morocco, will be using the special prefix 5 Charlie 26 from 25 July to 5 August. For example, Charlie November 8 November India Lima will be using 5 Charlie 26 November India Lima. The National Society will be running special event station 5 Charlie 26 Foxtrot Tango. Throne Day is a public holiday in Morocco that commemorates the enthronement of the incumbent monarch, and since 1999 it has been celebrated on 30 July. Then we go down to Uganda, where Pista Hotel Alpha 5 Alpha Oscar will be active as 5 X-ray 2 India from 29 September to 10 October. He will operate CWSSB and digital modes on 80 to 6 meters and QSL preferably via his OQRS for direct and bureau cards, or then direct to Hotel Alpha 5 Alpha Oscar via the bureau. The complete log will be uploaded to Logbook of the World 6 months after the expedition. Down to Angola to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the independence of Angola. That was 11 November 1975. Team Delta 2 Alpha will be active from the Isle du Mosulu, which is a peninsula near Luanda, between 17 and 28 October. 10 operators will be active on 160 to 6 meters using CWSSB RTQY, other digital modes, and the Quebec Oscar 100 satellite with up to 6 stations. QSL is via Echo Alpha 7 Foxtrot Tango Romeo, and on QRZ.com for Delta 2 Alpha you will get more information about the expedition. Then we go across to India. Caesar Victor Echo 3 Lima Yankee Charlie, Sarath Victor Uniform 2 Romeo Sugar, Andish Victor Uniform 2 Delta X-ray, and Anil Victor Uniform 3 Delta X-ray Alpha will be active as Alpha Uniform 2 Hotel, that's the requested call sign, from Hope Island, Asia 178, and this is a new one for IOTA. And they plan for five full days between 27 September and 2 October. Plans are to operate 3 stations on 40 to 10 meters, aiming for a balanced number of contacts between CWSSB and digital. They will also be prepared to operate on 6 meter digital if the band offers any openings. QSL via Clublog's OQRS preferred, or then you can send it direct to Victor Echo 3 Lima Yankee Charlie. For more information and updates, you can visit https://alphauniform2hotel-alpha-sierra178.weebly.com. Then we go to Russia for 2 items. Gleb, Romeo Mike 5 Papa, and Kirill Romeo 5 Bravo Delta will be active as Romeo India 1 Oscar Kilo from Key Island, Europe 153 between 3 and 6 August. They will operate CWSSB and digital on various bands, and they will also be active on Quebec Oscar 100. QSL is via Romeo Mike 2 Papa and also Logbook of the World. Then Vasily, Romeo 7 Alpha Alpha, and Mikhail Romeo Alpha 1 Alpha Lima Alpha will be active as Romeo India 1 Echo from Somers Island, IOTA 133 for Europe, and that is between 5 and 14 August. They will operate CWSSB and digital on 40 to 10 meters. QSL is via Clublog's OQRS, which is preferred, or then via Romeo 7 Alpha Alpha. The next 2 items are for the scouts. We go to Slovenia. Scout station Sierra 50 Zulu Lima Echo Tango will be activated by members of Radio Club Susanna as well as Radio Club Copper between 2 and 8 August for the Slovenian National Jamboree. This is the first time for Slovenian amateurs to help at the event and showcase our hobby to the Scouts. And then to Portugal, where Scout Station Charlie Romeo 5 Oscar Charlie Echo Alpha November will be active between 3 and 9 August, operating from the National Maritime Scout Camp Oceanus at the Alqueva Dam in southern Portugal. The station will be active on 40 and 20 meters with QSL to Charlie Romeo 6 Charlie November Echo. Then you need a kilt for the next item. We're going to Scotland. Look out for Mike stroke Delta Juliet 7 Tango Oscar stroke Delta Juliet 9 Romeo stroke Delta Lima 1 Kilo Whiskey Kilo stroke Delta Lima 1 Romeo Tango Lima stroke Delta Lima 4 Sierra Victor Alpha stroke Delta Lima 5 Kilo Uniform Alpha and Mike stroke Oscar Echo 8 Tango India Romeo to operate on the HF bands and Quebec Oscar 100 satellites from the Shetland Islands, IOTA Europe 012, and this is between 4 and 14 August. During the CW leg of the Worked All Europe DX contest on 9 and 10 August, they will be signing Golf Mic 4 Sierra, and QSL is via Logbook of Will and Club Logs OQRS. Then across the Atlantic, St. Peter and St. Paul Archipelago is our stop firstly there. George Alpha Alpha 7 Juliet Victor reports that the plans for the October 2025 the expedition to St. Peter and St. Paul have been put on hold due to a lack of progress in obtaining the final permit from the Brazilian Environmental Protection Agency. Sounds like a government job. Then to St. Kitts. Once again, John Whiskey 5 Juliet Oscar November will be active as Victor 4 7 Juliet Alpha from St. Kitts, IOTA North America 104, between 4 and 13 August. He will operate SSB and digital on various bands with a focus on 6 meters, QSL via Logbook at World or direct only to Whiskey 5 Juliet Oscar November. The British Virgin Islands, where Andy Kilo 4 Lima Whiskey Romeo and his brother Tony Kilo Delta 8 Romeo Tango will be active as Victor Papa 2 Victor stroke Kilo 4 Lima Whiskey Romeo and Victor Papa 2 Victor stroke Kilo Delta 8 Romeo Tango from Tortula in the British Virgin Islands, IOTA North America 0T3 between 8 and 11 August. They will operate mainly SSB with some CW and digital on 80 to 6 meters, and their focus will be on WARC bands, 30, 17 and 12 meters, and also 6 meters. Using MSK144, they will participate in the Hamsky Meteor Scatter QSO party on 11 August with one station on 6 meters, the other on 10 meters. QSL via Logbook of the World or direct to Kilo Delta 8 Romeo Tango. And then our last stop is Lord Howe Island. Janus Sierra Papa 9 Foxtrot India Hotel will be active as Victor Kilo 2 stroke Sierra Papa 9 Foxtrot India Hotel from Lord Howe Island, IOTA Oceana 004 from 27 August to 13 September. He plans to operate SSB and digital on 30, 20, 17, 15, 12, and 10 meters. QSL via Club Logs OQRS. And he says this is for direct request for QSLs. And then bureau requests will be uploaded after 12 months to Logbook of the World. For more information, have a look at https://victorkilo9.theexpeditions.org. A reminder, according to the Australian Communications and Media Authority's updated amateur radio call sign policy, Victor Kilo 9 prefix call signs can be used only by operators located in an Australian external territory other than Antarctica. Lord Howe Island is part of New South Wales, hence the use of the Victor Kilo 2 stroke home call sign. And yes, this afternoon you can participate in the SARLHF phone contest, and next Saturday the SARLYLQSO party. That's all this week here from Dennis, ZS4 Bravo Sierra for Amateur Radio Today.
You've been listening to Amateur Radio Today on ZSX SRL. Well, that's the end of today's program. Thanks to our contributors. Thanks to all our relay stations. And thanks to your listeners. There'll be more Amateur Radio Today next Sunday. So, have a look at our website for more information at www.mzsa.org.za, where you find all the details about the various programs, as well as you can download Amateur Radio Today. Until next week, 73.